And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 735. Continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the fantasy baseball season. We're heading to the Northeast, to the NL East, to a team that is spending money in the most glorious ways possible this offseason. And they're going to try to make a name for themselves in a big, big way this postseason. Talk about the New York Mets. In order to help me break down the New York Mets coming back for round two of this wonderful discussion, you can find them on Twitter at @_Gilds. Gilds, how are we doing, my friend?
Hey, Bubba. Thanks for having me, as always. Appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate it, my friend. Yeah, it's fun to talk some Mets once again with you. How do you feel 2024 went before we start talking 2025?
I mean, it was a great season. You know, the ups and the downs. I don't think any Mets fan expected that run at the end. I mean, at one point we're 11 games under 500. Everyone's saying, you know, get rid of the manager. You know, Lindor was struggling at the time. It's just, yeah, the fans were down on the team. And then next thing you know, they just kind of turned the corner and they just went on a crazy, crazy run. And it was insane, man. I haven't felt, you know, that pumped for this team since probably, I guess, 2015 at least, you know. But yeah, it was a fun ride.
Yeah, for sure. Like I know you follow them and bleed, you know, orange and blue all the time. But that run was so awesome last year. There was many a faces that I knew are in the Northeast and in the New York area that all of a sudden were reminiscing about their childhood days. So it brought out all the Mets fans and even Grimace. So
yeah that Grimace, going for you. Yeah, OMG, which I think from, you know, I think it's actually a quality song. You know, I downloaded it on Apple Music. I was blasting that on the way to work. I mean, it's a catchy song, man. He's got talent. But yeah, just a crazy, crazy year. Didn't end how we wanted it to, but just getting to the NLCS and just all the excitement abroad. It was fun.
Yep. And you guys added on to it to make a bigger run this year. So let's talk 2025 Mets here. Start with the bats, as we always do on this show. We'll start with one, Francisco Lindor, who over the last 9 or 10 drafts is coming in with an ADP of 16. Gilds, wasn't that long ago that it was me, you, and our buddy Drew Forte doing a show. And it was one Francisco Lindor versus Ellie De La Cruz discussion point, which, looking at your face, thinks something you were going to bring up here in a minute. But I've been Team Lindor with you for a long time, and I've been taking all the shares I can this year. Should we still be all Team Lindor this year?
Oh, yeah. And it was funny. It was the Frankie versus Ellie debate last year. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, you could say Ellie, I don't even know what you would say. Obviously, the steals, he had him there. But I think Frankie beat him in every other category, right? So,
yeah,
to me, Lindor, he's going pick 14. And I tweeted that earlier. I'm like, I would take him straight up over Ellie. Mm-hmm. And I think Gunnar, too, to be honest. I just think Frankie,
I'm with you,
it's so safe. You know what you're getting there. He's going to be another 30-30 guy. He's going to be batting, and we could talk about this later more, but likely in front of Soto, right? So, I mean, pencil him in for 110 runs. Mm-hmm. The average is going to be anywhere, you know, 260 to 270, I think. It's just a safe, you know, 4-plus category guy. So I love his price. And I think getting him top of the second round or end of the first round in 15-teamers, that's a great pick, and it's a great way to start.
Yep, 100% with you. Everyone talks about the importance of getting an early shortstop, and like, it's not the end-all, be-all, but it's important. I love the fact that he's like the third or fourth shortstop off the board. It's great. I made a beer bet with Bloomfield on our show that Lindor over Mookie Betts, took that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, that was a fun one for me. I'm all about Lindor. Big, big, big fan. I'm with you on that one. So any chance I can draft him, I will now, for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned Juan Soto, the was it $700 million man or whatever we want to call him. He just got absolutely paid, and kudos to him. But coming over from a season with the Yankees and just continues, you know, the power was amazing last year. We know the average and all the other production he does. Now he slides into Queens to play some ball. What are our thoughts on Soto? Because right now you got that ADP of around 9 for Soto, give or take. And there's like the discussions of Corbin Carroll and Kyle Tucker and some other guys. Where do you sit on Juan Soto?
Yeah, I think he's a nice pick there. I honestly would probably take Tucker and Carroll over him just because of the speed factor. But I think Soto's, you know, he's as safe as you're going to get. You know he could perform in New York. We just saw what he did with the Yankees last year. I mean, the lineup is stacked. And the question is really if he's batting second or third. We know Frankie's going to bat leadoff, right?
Yep.
And Soto is going to be either second or third. It's just a matter of which one. But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at, you know, a solid batting average, 270 plus, 30, 35 homers, 100 and 100. And the steals are really the only thing that, you know, might cap his ceiling somewhat. You know, he might steal, you know, 8 to 10, I'd say. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice, safe first-round pick. You kind of build your offense around. So nothing wrong with Soto there. I just prefer, you know, Corbin Carroll and that Tucker, you know, getting that, you know, 30-plus steals, you know, banked in the first round there.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Like, I love Soto. I think he's a great player. I'm taking those guys over him all day, every day. Like, that's what I've been doing all draft season. So it's nothing against Soto. Just I want those steals as well. It's a big focus of mine, especially if you go after a player. I know you love to draft. You drafted him when you won the overall in the same league I was in. And it seems like you have a lot of shares when I see screenshots of the Guild's early rounds in drafts for the last couple of years now. And that's one big meat, Pete the Polar Bear, who returns to the Mets and has an ADP close to 60 right now. So in those 12s we love, we're talking 4-5 turn with Pete Alonso. How are you sitting on him this season?
Yeah, he's actually – he definitely moved – has been moving up since he signed. But
beautiful.
In fact, one of my OCs, I replicated what my what I did the year I won it all, where I backed up the two first basemen real fast. So I took Olsen, ended the third, and then Pete fell. I was drafting at pick 11, and Pete fell all the way to 5-11. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
You know, the turn was sitting there. He needed a power bat. He had no first baseman. He's like, all right, Gills will pass here. I'll get Alonso at the corner. I'm like, nope, you're not going to get in there, actually.
That's awesome. So
a double dip, yeah, Olsen and Alonso. Yeah, I mean, this is it. He's got, you know, last year was a prove-it year, and he got another reprieve at that this year. It's a two-year deal, but he has the opt-out after this year. So this is, you know, this is really what he's playing for, you know, the next big contract. If he gets one, it's going to be off of this year. Likely batting behind Soto. He could bat cleanup also, but, I mean, yeah, I think the power ceiling's going to be huge here. If he doesn't hit or knock in 110 runs, I'll be shocked. You know, he's got Vientos playing behind him, batting behind him, Nimmo. You got Lindor at the top. I mean, the lineup is just stacked. I think he's going to get closer to that, you know, 40 to 45 homers, 100-plus ribbies. You know, the average is the concern, but I think, you know, I think he gets back into that 240, you know, high 240 area where in this climate that doesn't really kill you too bad.
Yep, I'm with you. With the RBI production potential, throwing Soto in there, you got Lindor. Maybe you got Nimmo up there too. Maybe they mix things up here. And then if you like, if Alonso's hitting cleanup, that like there's 120 plus RBIs. Like he's just driving them all in, and it's
going to be awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's really the talk now in New York is really just a lineup configuration. Because honestly, Pete could bat second possibly with Soto behind him, give him some great protection back there. But likely, yeah, he's probably batting third or fourth with Vientos, you know, third or fourth. You know, it's just a matter of what Mendoza likes. But I could see that maybe changing too throughout the season.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Brandon Nimmo, a player that last year hit 23 homers, 15 steals. The average dropped a ton, but the steals came up in bunches. Still plays pretty much every day. Plays hurt. Already said he's going to play through the plantar fasciitis again this season, which – makes you kind of squeamish, but okay, he did it last year. His ADP is 197. Where do we sit on a guy like Brandon Nimmo? Because for two reasons. A, the injury, and B, he used to be like the leadoff guy, so we'd like to get OBP, going to score runs, do his thing. That might not be the case this year, it looks like. So where do we sit on Nimmo?
Yeah, his OBP has been dropping every year. The last, I think, 3 or 4 years has been dropping. He's kind of changed his approach now. I mean, he's definitely more looking to, you know, pull the ball and hit into some of that power. So I think a lot depends on, again, where he's slotting in the lineup. If he's slotting, you know, fourth or even fifth, you know, you expect some decent RBI production. The steals, he did steal 15, which kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, we always said, why doesn't he steal more bags? He's just not a great base runner, but did put up 15 last year. I don't know. I think, he's one of those boring names owners don't love taking, but I think end of the year, you know, if you get 140 plus games out of him, you're going to get some decent counting stats. An average probably is going to move back up into that 260 range, I would guess. But yeah, for like a fourth, fifth outfielder, I think that's perfectly fine for Nimmo.
Yeah, he's a guy I've been starting to target just because he does give you pretty quality production, like not over the top, but pretty quality throughout most of your categories. And something that stood out to me, because I've always kind of just not known what to do with Brandon Nimmo in drafts. But when I had Steve Goodwin on earlier this year, he was recapping like the top, you know, 5, 6, 7 OC finishers. Almost all of them had Nimmo, all of them. And then when Ryan in one of our shows did like the top 6 DCs, I think 4 out of 6 had Nimmo on them. There's a trend. And I think it's just that steady, like where you draft him at, he's not crushing you, but he might overachieve a bit in certain categories. Like there's a lot to that on some of those formats. So it was interesting to see.
Yeah, he's just a strange player because you don't know kind of what you're getting from you know kind of the baseline of what he's going to give you, but you don't know if he's going to steal more 1 year, if he's going to hit more homers 1 year, his batting average is going to be better 1 year. You know what I mean? He kind of varies throughout all categories every year, it seems. But yeah, I think if he's in there and he's playing and he's healthy, which you know seems to be the case, you're getting a decent at least compiler of stats. You just don't know which ones he's going to be producing. That
sounds a lot like Ian Happ a lot later in the draft type situation. Mark Vientos,
similar.
Yeah, definitely. Mark Vientos, this is a good one because I know we talked about him last year. He finally got the chance, 111 games played at 27 home runs while hitting 266. Now you have to draft him within the top 100 picks now. Are we buying into an even bigger year from Vientos? Are we concerned at all? Like, where do we sit on Vientos? Because power seemed pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think at least we're pretty optimistic about Vientos over here. The power is legit. I mean, the guy just mashes these balls. A lot of people are comping him to like a younger Stanton almost, which I could see. You know, he's got that kind of raw power. And, you know, where he's going in drafts, you know, 90 to 100, I'm happy to take him there. I don't think he could hit 40 home runs this year. I think that's in his range of outcomes. And again, in the middle of this lineup, like I keep repeating it, but this top five for the Mets, I think, is probably, if not the best top five in baseball, it's right up there. So there's going to be a lot of runs scored, a lot of runs produced, and he could possibly hit second as well. So, I mean, talk about hitting behind Lindor and in front of Soto, right? I mean, can you ask for a better spot in a lineup? I don't think there is one in baseball. So I think the ceiling is massive for Vientos. Obviously, you know, there is floor to batting average. He's got to cut down on the strikeouts a bit. But again, if he's hit in front of a Soto or even Alonso, he's going to get some nice fastballs to hit too. So I think you're going to get a lot of power off that bat, a lot of counting stats, and just got to be a little weary of the batting average. But I do like him where he's going.
Yeah, I love this idea of that you've mentioned a few times of having either Alonso or Vientos. I kind of prefer the younger guy in Vientos between the two, hitting in front of Soto, because that's just like put it on a tee for the kid, keep his confidence high. Like Alonso's gone through the ups and downs. Like he's been there long enough, you'd hope he'd be able to work through it. Whether, you know, Vientos coming off a great year, if he slumps out the gate, might have some, you know, things going in between the years that aren't great. So you put him in front of a guy like Soto, can remedy a lot of that really quick. And that that's a luxury you guys have with the depth for sure. So I like that concept a lot because that just ups the fantasy appeal for a guy like Mark Vientos.
And another thing on him too, I mean, there's a lot of talk about his character out. He's like a super hard worker. He's trying to improve his game like nonstop. I mean, this guy wants to be a star player. I think it's all there for him, man. I really do. I think Vientos is going to – we're going to look back at his numbers this year and be like, holy crap, how did we let this guy fall to the 9th round in these drafts? So, yeah, I'm very bullish on him.
No, that's fair enough. I was happy with all the late picks with him last year that fell, but now you have to pay the price. And still, like you said, if he gets 40-plus homers, which he does have the ability to do, is very interesting. Welcome back, Jesse Winker. He was kind of a folk hero for a lot of Mets fans. He was, you know, doing his things, ripping off jerseys and – had a lot of clutch at bats last year in that run you guys had. He's primarily going to face right-handed pitching, so it's a platoon situation, but he'll be the strong side of the platoon. He's got an ADP of 407, so it might be better set for a DC per se or something. But just in general, like, what's your thoughts on this the DH situation here? You got Winker, maybe he goes with Marte, maybe it's, you know, you slip, you know, Vientos or someone there, let someone else play. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be Winker and Marte in like a strict platoon at DH. So, I mean, outside of DCs, you know, they're not draftable really in 12-teamers. Maybe very end of the draft, I guess, in the 15-teamers, like in the main. But, yeah, Winker, I mean, it's one of those guys you love to have on your team, right? And you hate him if he's on the other team. But he brought a lot of excitement to the team. Was always, you know, pumping up the crowd. You know, he's just hitting home runs, you know, pumping his fist. He's not afraid to talk smack. I mean, fans love him. But as far as fantasy goes, I mean, you're not really ever, unless he's getting every day at bats, which I don't foresee happening. He's just really a DC play right now.
Yep, with you on that as well. All right, let's go behind the dish. Player that you've been very high on in recent years, and we know the skill set is there, just hasn't come to fruition just yet, and that is Francisco Alvarez. It'll be his age 23 season, so still extremely, extremely young. Right now, ADP sitting around 160-ish. Where are we sitting on Francisco this year? Is he finally going to really jump out?
Yeah, I like him. I'm like, it's a shocker, right? The theme of this pod, it's going to be a lot of positivity, but I'm high on him. I think as far as a second catcher goes, that's a guy I'll be targeting a lot. I like his price a lot. You know, the thumb injury really, you know, kind of sucked his season last year, right? You know, right out of him. But he missed 2 months. I think he came back. He had a strong finish. He had 5 homers in September. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy. I mean, if he could change his approach a little bit behind the plate, you know, sometimes he swings out of his shoes. But, I mean, the power is there. Like you said, he's 23 years old, you know, former top prospect. I mean, the sky's the limit for him too. You know, he does have to cut down on his strikeouts also. But another guy, I mean, if he could hit 30 homers, that wouldn't shock anyone really. So just another guy, a good, you know, C2 late, especially after 150. That's a guy I'm happy to click on.
Yeah, where he's going right now in drafts, like, why can't he be Shea Langeliers, who's going at 124? So right. Very, very similar skill sets. We just see Shane do it before. We haven't seen Francisco, but again, it's going to be 23 for crying out loud. Like, there's a lot left on that vine with him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if you're optimistic about this one. Jeff McNeil, he's still there. Just still there is the way I look at it. He's just that one that won't go away, even though I want Luis Angel Acuna to just play every single day. I know I'm not alone in that regard, but McNeil's getting paid. So he's going to probably play second base, at least to start the year. How are we feeling on Jeff McNeil this year? Because, you know, again, he's just, to me, he's just there.
Yeah, he's just there. I mean, I honestly think they want to play him and see if he gets hot at some point and try to trade him. I think he's got one more year left. I mean, his game just kind of cratered, you know, from 2 years ago. Yeah, I mean, he's not draftable in 12-teamers, 15-teamers even. I mean, perhaps, you know, I guess in DCs, if you're looking for a guy just to plug in there with at-bats, but he doesn't really do much of anything, you know, fantasy-wise. Yep. I mean, he's a compiler, but doesn't really compile, if that makes any sense. But, yeah, nothing to see here. I think he's probably out at some point. And honestly, he could, like you said, straight up lose his gig to Acuna, possibly, or even Mauricio at some point, which maybe talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a little bit for sure. Anybody else that looks like we'll start the year with the team? This is the thing, is this team's very dominant, but like, if you just look at roster resource, Luis Torrens, the backup catcher, okay. Nick Madrigal doesn't scream excitement. Starting Marte DH in a platoon. Tyrone Taylor's got his moments, but he's like your fourth outfielder. So you need these boys to stay healthy before we start talking about prospects, probably.
Yeah. This is a very, like I said, it's very top heavy. I mean, it goes top five, but once you get past those five, and I guess you put Alvarez in there too. I mean, the bottom is still pretty weak, and they got their warts at the bottom there. You got Jose Siri as well.
That's right. And,
yeah. I mean, he's more of a, just kind of a souped up Harrison Bader, which you know, another guy maybe in DC's, you're looking to get not draft worthy in any 12 or even 15 teamers probably.
Good point. All right, let's head to the mound here. And we'll start with a guy that is returning to the team this year and made a massive boost for you guys last year when Sean Manaea. ADP's at 184 right now. How are you feeling on Sean Manaea coming back here? I loved last year.
I like his price, Bubba. I do. I like it a lot. And the funny thing I was looking at earlier, for a team that's going to, you know, probably win 90-plus games this year, you have one pitcher who's drafted in the top 150 picks, right, in Kode Senga,
yep.
With Diaz as the closer, but one starter drafted in the top 150. So I think a lot of them are values, and maybe we'll talk about them more in detail. But, yeah, Manaea, I think, you know, at that price, you know, going as your SP5, you know, maybe your SP6 in some drafts, I mean, sure, why not? I think he's going to, you know, he's going to have good run support. You know, he's not going to kill your ratios, has decent K upside. So, yeah, I like that price.
Yeah, I've been grabbing a lot of Sean Manaea wherever I can. I'm big at his price tag. I think it's great. Like you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of potential value in this rotation. The thing that actually came out today, because pitchers and catchers have been reporting and whatnot, we're recording on Tuesday for those that will get this later in the week. The Mets have mentioned maybe starting out with a six-man rotation based on Kode Senga's health because he missed most of last year. Kode Senga right now is an ADP between 140 and 150. I've been terrified to draft him at all because I have no clue what's going on there. And then this report comes out. So I guess two questions. What's your thoughts on the six-man rotation, which every team says they're going to do, and it never happens because no one stays healthy? And secondly, what are we doing with Kode Senga? Because I know the talent is very, very good. We just haven't seen him stay healthy enough to see it in a big sample.
Yeah, I'm all in on Senga. In fact, I just took him in this last OC around like 151, I think.
Nice.
And to me, that's all upside. To me, that's, I mean, you know, there's just a report today that he's feeling healthy. You know, he's ready to go. And the guy's got electric stuff, right? The ghost fork. He's got some, you know, his stuff is just silly. And I'm not asking for a lot there. You know, if he gives you 140, 150 innings, you know, you could be looking at elite ratios, really nice K upside, and he's going 150 picks into the draft. To me, I mean, I'm very willing to take that gamble at that, you know, at that part of the draft.
Okay. Yeah. That's, if you believe, I might have to change my thought process there. Cause yes, he is, you know, if he is healthy, it's gonna be a steal at that point in the draft. And in a 12, like you're talking OCs, yeah, that's an easy drop.
Like they're saying his shoulder is good to go. They said he's all recovered. I mean, he's healthy right now. He had the calf sprain that ended his year last year. He came back for the one start there. And then the Dodger game, which was a disaster, but yeah, all reports are he's ready to go. So, you know, until he's not, I'm drafting as if he's healthy. And, you know, they're definitely going to monitor his innings. You know, like you said, six-man rotation. You know, I don't think he's going to pitch more than 150, 160. But a guy that has that kind of elite K upside and ratios going that, you know, that deep into the draft, I'm definitely clicking that button.
And that might be why they want to go six man, because if you want to get 150, you can space them out, you do that. It's like, it's not like it's the pillar of, you know, you got Manaea's 33. We're talking Montas, who's almost 32, David Peterson, Clay Holmes. Like every pitcher is basically 30 or older in this rotation, which is not a bad thing. But when we talk about most teams, there's at least one or two young arms in this deal. So six man might not be the worst thing, all things considered. So let's talk about Frankie Montas coming over here on a like a 1 or 2 year deal. Got traded last year, actually pitched much better with Milwaukee. The ratios were not ideal, but the strikeouts look better, yada, yada, yada. ADP's 311 with Frankie Montas, essentially free in an OC. I've always been a Frankie Montas believer. I get the concerns. Where do you sit on Frankie Montas?
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a broken record, Bubba, but I like all these prices for all these pitchers. I mean, there's really no risk. You know, outside of Senga, you know, pick 150 is somewhat of a risk, but – the rest of these guys are all going, you know, after Manaea, they're going, you know, late 200s, early 300s. There's no risk, right? So if you believe in the pitching coach Hefner and the pitching lab there and Stearns, I mean, so far he's you know, he's hitting on everything, you know. So if he believes in him, they could, you know, reclaim his old form and turn him into the guy, you know, he was a few years ago. You know, great park, great team. It wouldn't, you know, again, another guy that wouldn't shock me. Like, you know, if you put in like Severino type numbers, who,
yeah, it's true.
You know, a lot of people doubted him last year and they turned him around. So you never know.
I think that's a great comp, Montas and Severino, because it's like Montas, we've seen him be really good before he had his injuries. Severino was pretty good, had his injuries. Severino comes in much improved with the Mets. Again, anything can happen, but it is a pretty interesting comp there to put the two together there. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
David Peterson, ADP's 376. This is a guy that strikeout rate dropped a ton last year, but the ratios got much better. I've always liked him for the strikeout appeal, but he used to walk the farm. Drop the walks, but drop the Ks. More of a pitch to contact, get the job done guy last year. Where are we sitting on David Peterson this year?
I like him too, Bubba. I like.
I'm just gonna make a button.
I know it's crazy. Just again, I'm just really talking just the value mostly. I mean, I do like him as a pitcher, but yeah, he looked really good last year. I'm shocked too that he's getting no love in these fantasy circles. I mean. What do you have? He had like a 2.9 ERA last year, right? So, yep. I mean, he looked good. You know, like you said, the walks are what killed him. If he could, you know, contain those and, you know, pitch to some contact, he's got a good defense behind him. So, yeah, I mean, I know they're high on him here too. So, I mean, he's going to be a fixture in that rotation as long as he's healthy. So, I feel like you could do a lot worse, you know, as your SP, you know, 7, 6, 7 in these drafts. So, that's a guy I've been adding late too in these rounds. Just again, no risk there. So, you know, all upside.
All right. Let's talk another new member of the Mets here coming over from the Yankees, going from closer to back to the rotation in Clay Holmes. ADP is a little bit, it's between 290, 300 right now. I actually picked up my first Clay Holmes share in a DC today. Went and jumped on that train. Just hasn't fallen the way I've drafted so far, but he was sitting right there, needed a pitcher. Boom. He still threw like 90 innings last year. He threw, 63, sorry. So, like, we've seen these relievers turn starters, go get you 140, something like that. What are your thoughts on Holmes? Again, very affordable. And honestly, I think repertoire-wise, I like it better than a Peterson. Obviously, going much different. He's going about, you know, 10 picks ahead of Frankie Montas. Interesting discussion there. How do you sit on Clay Holmes here?
Another guy, Bubba, I've been drafting a lot of. I hate to sound like a homer, but I mean, again,
well, great. Like you keep saying, though, it's the price. Like the prices are these guys.
Right. That's fine. Right? I mean, at least 2 to 3 of these guys are going to crush their draft prices. So what I'm doing is I'm just taking all of them, right, across all these drafts. Love his price. I think, you know, like you said, the innings are going to be, you know, that's going to be tough to come by, but I think he'd get up there at 130 plus, right? Mm-hmm. You give me 130 quality innings with good ratios. You know, his Ks will be decent, nothing crazy, but, you know, 130 innings of good ratios on a good team, you know what I mean? You start that guy as long as he's pitching for, you know, as long as he's in rotation, you're going to be starting. I think owners get too held up on the volume of innings when you're looking at guys in the back ends of the drafts. Just get guys that are good pitchers and can pitch the good ratios. Worry about the innings later. You know what I mean? Yeah. The innings, the volume, those are the guys I'm looking at, you know, the top 100 picks, right? You're not really wanting to take a chance on a guy like that, you know, that high. But here, going around pick 300, if he gives you 110 innings of good ratios and, you know, I don't know, 15 starts, you know, I'll sign me up for that at pick 305. So I love him. I love him and where he's going. I think he's going to be, you know, very solid. This is a guy that I think they're going to, you know, enjoy working with and the pitching lab. And they want to be like, hey, see, we're smarter than everybody else. This is the kind of guy that Stearns and company, you know, likes to target. So, yeah, I think Clay Holmes is going to be a legit starting pitcher for the Mets. I think you're looking at probably mid-3s ERA. You know, whip probably in the 115 to 120 range, decent Ks, and you know he's you know has a good offense around him, so you know wins should be there as well. So I do like his outlook.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything you said there. And one thing, like you mentioned, the later pitchers, especially in an OC, you work the waiver wire pretty well. Like you're pretty aggressive early on. So these guys aren't panning out, or it looks like things are wrong, you fix these things in an OC. It's a very quick, like where they're getting drafted, you're dropping most guys you're picking here anyways. That's just the reality of the situation. So take your chances, like you're saying. And a team like the Mets, like, they're not worried about the full season with a lot of these guys. It's just get me, and then we'll trade, we'll spend more money. Like, we'll do whatever we got to do type thing to piece this together. And we got Paul Blackburn, ADP 670, Tyler McGill, 466. Their options, if it's a six-man rotation, one of them's in play. Like, are like maybe in a DC or something, are you looking at these guys?
Yeah, DC is only. Yeah, definitely not draftable in these OCs or 15-teamers. Yeah, I mean, Blackburn, not really. I mean, I think he's just a guy. McGill was solid at times last year, but he still scares me. But, yeah, I mean, DC's fine. I'm not looking to target them, though, in these 12-teamers at least.
All righty. Let's head to the bullpen before we talk some more young players here. And we got Edwin Diaz, who, you know, he had the ACL injury after the WBC, missed that whole season, came back, was good, then he wasn't, almost got replaced, then he came back and looked better towards the end. ADP's around 40 right now. How are you feeling on Edwin Diaz?
Yeah, so here I think he's going probably where he should go, right? If you think about it, Bubba, how many closers are like lock ninth inning guys, right? Maybe what, five or six?
I have about six, yeah. Yeah, it's not
a lot. So, I mean, if you're one of those six guys, I get why you should cost that much. So I get it. You're right. He did fluctuate a lot last year. There were times where he just lost it, right? And had to regain his form at the end. I do like the addition of Minter. So I can see times when – and Mendoza likes to, you know, also he'll throw Diaz out in the eighth, right, if he sees the harder to line up, that kind of thing. Or if he sees tough lefties do up, you know, in the ninth, maybe he goes with Minter, you know, that day. But yeah, I mean, as you know, he's one of these top hater, Devin Williams, you know, any of that top range of closer. So, I mean, I think you're going to get what you're going to get from any of those top five guys, just the security of having a job. I don't see him losing it again, hopefully, knock on wood. But yeah, I don't love his price, but I don't hate it either. I think that's, you know, that's fair for what he's going to give you.
Yeah, you summed it up well. It's like I'm not in love with this price. I haven't had a lot of shares. I've taken different closers in that realm. But to your point, it's where he deserves to be, because once you get past like him, Iglesias, it starts turning into a more of a sticky situation as you start looking at closers. And that does change things up a little bit, which makes it trickier. So he deserves to go where he's going, but tough to click the button at that point in time with other things going on. So.
Yeah, Iglesias too. So like you said, that's in these OCs, what I've been doing, I just, in the fifth round, right, that's where like they all go, where the last of them go. So what I'm doing is I'm just waiting for the very last guy who falls out of that those top six. And I have a lot of Iglesias. And yeah, more often than not, it's Iglesias, the one that falls. But I'm happy to take him too. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, if Edwin falters or hits the IL, you mentioned Minter. They already announced Jose Buto is going to start in the bullpen, which is a plus. He's been very strong out of there. Reed Garrett was really strong at times last year. Then he kind of faltered towards the end. Who would kind of be your plan B? Would it be Minter as the lefty, or would you put some stock in Buto potentially?
I think they'd probably roll with Minter, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, Buto, he could do it also. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough call. I think they'd probably go to Minter. He's done that before, right, in spot – you know, situations where he's closed games. So, and they paid him decent money. I think they'd go to him.
Yep. All righty. Let's talk prospects, because the Mets have a handful of them as well. We've mentioned a few on the show. So I'll let you steer the, or I'll ask you a few that I know, and then you can steer the other ones. Let's start with Luis Angel Acuna, who we saw get that cup of coffee last year and looked pretty promising in his short sample, tore it up in winter ball. ADP right now is around 390. I've been taking a lot of shares of that in DCs throughout the entire draft season. What are your thoughts on him? When do you think we might see him? What's it going to take, I guess, to see him? Is he better left for the fab world because of the questions? Like, how do you approach Acuna?
Yeah, I think in 12 teamers, he's probably not going to be drafted too often, right? Because, I mean, he's going to start as one, you know, on the bench, right? They're going to start McNeil at second. But he's going to come in, he's going to play some, he's, you know, he could rotate with McNeil, bounce around a little bit, you know, definitely come in late game situations, pinch run, that kind of stuff. But barring a McNeil injury or just completely sucking, which is definitely possible, he's probably not going to see, you know, every day at bats, at least, you know, for a couple months into the season. So I don't think he's a guy you could really draft outside of DCs right now, but definitely a guy to keep on your radar.
All right, let's talk about Ronnie Mauricio, who you mentioned earlier. ADP is around 490 in DCs. He was a guy last DC season before he had the knee injury that everyone was pretty pumped, like, hey, this is going to be Ronnie time, and rightfully so from what we saw. So where are we at on him entering this season?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a repeat of that where he – I think he'll be the highest FAB bid this summer. That's my – that's one of my picks right there for Ronnie Mauricio. I think so. He had the ACL surgery. I was reading up on this yesterday. It was December of 23, right? So we're 14 months out of his surgery, right? So, I mean, this is a guy, you know, who should be, you know, back on the field and playing. Now, I did read also he's probably not going to play until mid-March into spring training. Okay. So you're probably not going to see a lot of him in spring training, maybe towards the end, just a little bit. He's going to start the year in the minors, but this is a guy I think that's going to come up, whether it's May, early June. He's going to come up. They might – McNeil might be sucking, and they want to just flat out replace him. Maybe they trade McNeil. I don't know. Mauricio is going to be a factor on this team in the second half, and I could see him coming up, and, you know, I'll be dropping 400 on him if I have 400, which I probably won't. But that's a guy that's going to – he's going to break the bank for a lot of these owners in FAB. That's my call.
Yeah, talent is ridiculous.
Once again. Good.
Yeah, but no, this one I totally could see happening because he is that good, and people are willing to do that in draft season last year for him, let alone when he comes up in the FAB world. Let's talk Brett Beatty. Before Alonso came back, there was rumors Vientos to first. Beatty might actually get a chance at third. Well, that kind of went up in smoke now. Brett Beatty's ADP is now around 500 over the last 10 drafts. Are we just moving on from the kid, or is there still some optimism there?
Oh, man. Yeah. What a disappointment. I mean, we were so high on him, you know, in his rookie year, and he showed flashes, and then it hasn't happened for him. I mean, yeah, I don't, he's 25 now. You know, he's not going to get a chance to play every day. That's for sure. With you know, Alonso coming back. I mean, yeah, he's definitely not draft worthy, you know, in 12 teamers, even 15s. I mean, you can't draft this guy. Yeah. I mean, he's like a late round. I don't even, what's he going in DCs? Do you have the ADP
Around 500.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's really what he's amounting to right now. It's barring an injury to Vientos. Really, I don't know. Outside of that, I don't know how he gets any chance to play, to be honest, because even Vientos is going to be handed a long leash. Yep. You know what I mean? He might start out, you know, April, you know, in a massive slump. They're not gonna mess with this kid anymore. He's gonna be their third baseman now and for the future. So maybe he's trade material, Beatty, if he's doing well, you know, in AAA. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see it happening in New York for Beatty.
All right. Any other hitting prospects before we talk pitching prospects worth potentially talking about for this season?
Let's see. You have Drew Gilbert. That's the guy who's probably closest. But I think he's primarily a left fielder, right? So barring a Nimmo injury, I don't see him coming up. I mean, again, but they could also, you know, they could trade Marte at some point too. There's going to be a lot of movement on this team. So you're going to see a lot of shifts. A lot of, you know, these young guys can come up, but it might not be until, you know, the All-Star break or after that. But yeah, I think the team, or, you know, this that you see opening day might not look the same, you know, end of July, I'll put it like that. But yeah, he's probably the closest bat, Drew Gilbert. Jet Williams is still, I mean, he could be trade bait. You know, he's got a bright future. I mean, he plays shortstop primarily. Can play center field also, I think. So maybe next year, you know, we'll see him at some point, but I don't see him coming up this year at all.
Got to get McNeil out of there. All right, let's head to the mound where you have Brandon Sproat, who a lot of people are very excited about this year, but I'm not sure how much of an impact we'll get this year. ADP is around 560 in DCs. What are your thoughts on Sproat this year?
Yeah, I was, I think, again, this is a guy I think that could come up, you know, late season for the Mets, you know, or if there's an injury, you know, if they're hit with a couple of injuries, they might consider calling him up. I was looking at his innings last year, and he moved around, right? He jumped from Double A to Triple A. He did pretty well overall. Looks like, let's see, innings pitched. He had through 116 innings last year, so the innings aren't really a concern. That's a guy that could, you know, throw 150 probably with ease this year. Yeah, definitely a name to keep an eye on. They're really high on him here. They like his makeup. You know, he's got, you know, good strikeout potential too. So that's a guy that I think, you know, if they're struck with a couple of injuries or guys underperforming, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he came up at some point this year. But again, that's probably looking at mid, late season, you know, at best for him.
All righty. Any other pitchers worth keeping an eye on this year in the Mets farm?
I don't think so. I mean, they got about, you know, 20 starters. Oh, what's his name from the Angels who they signed to $5 million? He might be part of the
Griffin
rotation.
Griffin Canning. I forgot to mention Griffin Canning. I love Griffin. I've always been a weirdo that likes him and then gets burned by him, but he's always so cheap. He has ADP's almost 600 right now.
Yeah, and that's I mean, he's had success, right? He had a couple decent seasons. I know it's, you know, it's been bad for a few years now, but I mean, they're confident the pitching lab, as they say, they could fix them here. And good park, right? Good team, you know, good surrounding. So yeah, I mean, that's not a guy. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he's, you know, throwing some spot starts here and there, but yeah, that's not a guy. You know, maybe you pick him up if he's in rotation for a month or so and looks decent, but yeah, it's not a guy you're drafting, at least in any fab league.
Yeah, if they go six-man rotation, he could beat out a Blackburn and a McGill easily.
And he can.
So that could be interesting for sure. All right, final question I have for you, my friend. What are your expectations or thoughts for the 2025 season?
World Series or bust, Bubba. Nothing less.
Love
it. Nah, honestly, I mean, the fans here, we're giddy. We are giddy about this team. This is this offense, the vibe around this lineup, Juan Soto. I mean, this is the best offseason we've had in I can't remember the last offseason like this. I mean, it's just incredible what Cohen and Stearns have done. Fans are just pumped for this season to start. I can't wait for it. So yeah, I mean, listen, the NL East is tough, right? You got three, I think, elite teams all battling each other. So any one of those three, I think, could win the East. I think the Mets, I think they have probably the best offense of the three. You know, the pitching is probably the worst of the three, but again, we doubted their staff last year and they all surprised us. So if they get, you know, serviceable pitching like they did last year with this lineup, you know, they're going to be contending. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, at least playoffs for sure. I'd be shocked if this, you know, if they're not in the playoffs, at least some wild card team. So a lot of optimism here in New York, Bubba.
I don't blame you guys. It's going to be awesome. Like, I'm looking forward. I know you don't want to hear it, but Philly's got a fun team. Mets got a good team. Braves have a good team. I know it's a yearly tradition, but like, you look on paper, they all stack out really well. Like, it's going to be some awesome series.
Oh yeah. It's going to be intense. It's going to be real intense. And we got the Marlins and the Nats just there. So
the Nats offense will be improved, but that pitching's kind of a joke. And the Marlins don't even care about baseball right now. So,
oh yeah, the Marlins. Jeez.
Yeah. So yeah, you got that going for you. Like, if anything, the Nats might be a pain in the butt certain series, like out of nowhere, but I wouldn't be too concerned.
And the Marlins actually play the Mets tough always. So, I mean, I joke, but they, for some reason, they like to beat us, the Marlins, even when they're shit.
They got
teams.
Those young kids that no one cares. They're just like, what do I have to lose? You're just gonna go out there. So we'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to watching as a baseball fan because it's gonna be a lot of fun, and probably at least two, if not three teams out of the East will be in the postseason. Wouldn't be shocked about that one bit. But we'll wrap it up there, my friend. Always a pleasure having you on, talking some Mets, talking some baseball. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely, Bubba. I always appreciate you having me on.
Always. Make sure y'all check out the Guilds on Twitter @_guilds. It's draft season, folks, so get in it with the Guilds. And until next time, This was Bench with Bubba, episode 735, your 2025 Mets preview. Catch y'all next time.